I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Book of Deuteronomy, we're going to be looking at a portion of chapter 5 today as we continue on in our summer sermon series going through the Ten Commandments. Last week we looked at the first commandment, and that we saw that in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7, "You shall have no other gods before me." Today we move on to the second commandment, which we'll find in verses 8 through 10. However, if you have come from a Lutheran or Roman Catholic background, you might be wondering why we're talking about the first commandment again today. Those church traditions generally have understood verses 7 through 10 all to be about the first commandment. Our tradition has been more that verses 8 through 10 is talking about something substantively different than the first commandment in verse 7. So let's look and see what we read in verses 8 through 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 5. "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to this portion of your word today, we pray that you would open our hearts, our eyes, our minds, that we might see what you desire us to see. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be at work as we read your word, as we meditate upon it, that you would take your word and cause us to be changed through the work of the Spirit by using of this word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of the best illustrations come right out of the Bible. When Solomon, the king of Israel, died, through some unfortunate events that took place, the kingdom split into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom was called Israel. It contained the 10 most northern tribes. And the southern kingdom was called Judah. And it was made up of the two southern tribes. The capital city of Jerusalem was located in the southern kingdom of Judah. That's where the temple was. That's where people traveled as pilgrims to go and to worship the Lord. The king of the northern kingdom was a man named Jeroboam. Jeroboam was afraid that because the temple, because the place to worship was in the southern kingdom, that the people in the northern kingdom would be traveling down to Jerusalem into the southern kingdom, and they might start giving their allegiance to the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. So he was afraid he might lose his throne. So Jeroboam made a political move. He decided to set up two places of worship in the northern kingdom so that the people wouldn't have to go to Jerusalem. He put one in the city of Bethel, and he put another in the city of Dan. Now that in and of itself was nothing that the Lord told him to do. That was purely Jeroboam trying to protect his part of the kingdom. But it got worse. In both of these new places of worship, Jeroboam had a golden calf placed. And then Jeroboam declared, "Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." Jeroboam was not instructing his people to worship some foreign god like Baal. He was telling God's people to worship the one true God, but through the means of these images, these calves that he had set up. Sounds like Exodus 32. The Lord called it an abomination. It was a violation of God's word, of God's law, of the second commandment. Jeroboam didn't tell his people to worship a false god. He didn't tell his people not to worship the Lord. But what he did was to cause the people to worship the one true God in a sinful way. He was seeking to reshape God into something that best served himself. The calves were in place in Bethel and in Dan for over 200 years. And we read over and over and over again that one of the primary evaluations of whether the kings of Israel, the northern kingdom, whether the kings were ones who honored the Lord and followed the Lord or not, the way that they were evaluated was whether or not they walked in the ways of Jeroboam or not. The first commandment is about only worshiping the one true God. The second commandment is about worshiping the one true God rightly, correctly, the way that God has called us to do so. We're not allowed to just use images or idols to fashion God into who or what we want Him to be. We must worship Him and serve Him as He truly and eternally is. Jeroboam may have had good intentions, but his actions were condemned and considered an abomination to God. And it's a reminder to all of us that we need to pay attention to the purpose of the second commandment and seek to be keepers of it. So let's take a few moments and consider a few things. First of all, why is breaking the second commandment such a problem? Secondly, how we break it today. And lastly, what we can do to help us to keep the second commandment. So first of all, why breaking the second commandment is a problem? There are a number of reasons why it's a problem. The first is this. We are instructed in the Bible that God is spirit. As Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he specifically tells her, God is spirit. If you have either grown up or you're using the Westminster Kids Catechism, then you know that question 9 says, what is God? And the answer is, God is a spirit and has not a body like men. To create an image of God is to deny what God Himself has told us about Himself. He is a spirit, and no image, no idol can capture that truth or that reality. Another reason why breaking the second commandment is such a problem is that it's an offense to the sovereignty of God. Making an image is an offense to God's sovereignty. It's an attempt to make the infinite finite, to make the limitless limited, to make the incomprehensible comprehensible. It's an attempt to make the one with unlimited power something that can be controlled and manipulated. God is sovereign. He's not able to be manipulated or controlled. He is the creator. He is the maker of all things seen and unseen. He is the one who owns 1,000 cattle or cattle on 1,000 hills. It's an offense to his sovereignty. It's also an offense to his glory. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9, God declares himself that he is a jealous God. As we talked about last week, he's not jealous like we get jealous. His is not a sinful jealousy. His is a holy jealousy. And what is God jealous for? He is jealous for his own glory. He will give his glory to no one or no thing else. There's no possible way for the full glory of God to be represented in an image or an idol. And to try to do so is an offense to God. Another reason why breaking the second commandment is such a problem when we create images ourselves is because we're not recognizing the fact that God's already given us authorized images to help us understand who He is. What has He given us? He's given us His Word. He's given us the proof and the demonstration of His work. He's given us names by which we can call Him and call on Him. And more than that, He has given us the ultimate image by which we can understand God, and that is His Son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. That word imprint there means image or character. Jesus is the exact image, imprint, character of God. And think of it this way as well. God's also given us ourselves. We are made in the image of God. As you look around at your fellow human beings, you are seeing the image of God. We are made in the very image of God, we are told in Genesis chapter 1. We have no need to create images by which to know or to worship God. He's given us authorized images to use. And the last reason why breaking the second commandment is such a problem is that the Bible instructs us that we are to see by hearing. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 12, Moses is speaking to the people. He's reminding them of when they stood at the foot of the mountain and the Lord gave them his word. And then this is what we read. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. The New Testament puts it this way in Romans chapter 10. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The way that we see, the way that we grow, the way that we mature in faith, it's not by creating images by which we might try to understand God. It is by hearing the word of God, which is what we are doing at this very moment. Breaking the second commandment is a problem. These are the reasons why it's a problem. And notice, it's a significant problem in the eyes of the Lord. Consider the seriousness of the curse that he mentions here. He says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. Kevin DeYoung, in his little book on the Ten Commandments, takes some time to reflect on what this is saying, what this means, what this curse is saying and what it is not saying. This curse doesn't mean that a righteous child will be punished for the sins of a wicked father. This curse is talking about God's judgment on those who choose to walk in the wicked ways of their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents. Notice we read at the end of verse 9, this is a curse for those who hate the Lord, it says. Future generations who walk in the wickedness of their relatives will share in the punishment of their relatives. The Lord is speaking to his people and saying, if you keep sinning like your parents, like their parents, like their parents before them, then you get the same judgment that will be brought upon you. This is how significant of a problem it was in the mind of the Lord to break the second commandment. These are the reasons why breaking it is such a problem. But we need to own up to the fact that we break the second commandment as well. So let's think about this for a moment. How do we break this commandment today? Now, it's certainly the case that there are places and people today that continue to use kinds of literal images to worship the Lord. They actually use images to worship. Assuming that's not as much of a big deal for us here today. But what probably is more of an issue for us is making images of God in our minds. Making God into the God that we want him to be or who we think he should be. This is more of what was happening in Exodus chapter 32. The people created this golden calf or this golden bull in order to be thinking about the power of God. The strength of Yahweh. The people were afraid. Where was Moses? They wanted to wield the power of God for themselves and to provide for themselves and to protect themselves. And so they fashioned an image. This is more about how we break the second commandment today. We fashion God in our minds and focus on perhaps just one aspect of God's character or God's attribute. Right? We think about God as a God of love. But that's all we think about God. We turn him into a sort of cosmic Santa Claus, losing sight of his righteousness, of his holiness. Or perhaps we think of God as a tyrant, a dictator, a harsh king. We lose sight of his grace, of his mercy, of his steadfast love and care. Or maybe we think of God as my good friend, my buddy. We lose the sense of God's majesty and glory and transcendence. And when we do this in our minds, it can have a negative impact on how we live our lives. We can justify or excuse or ignore our sin because God is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He'll forgive me. He'll understand. Or when we think of God as only being a hard tyrant and could lead us to living a life of feeling oppressed and judged and even depressed. Or maybe we think of God as a God of quid pro quo. This for that. As if God says to us, as long as you obey me, I'll give you what you want. And so we try to manipulate God by our non-genuine superficial obedience to try to get what we want from him. The Westminster divines, the folks that wrote the Westminster Standards, they felt so strong about the way that we break the second commandment in our minds that they wrote in Westminster Larger Catechism 109, that the question there is, what are the sins forbidden in the second commandment? Let me read to you just the first half of their answer. The sins forbidden in the second commandment are all devising, counseling, commanding, using, and anywise approving any religious worship not instituted by God himself, tolerating a false religion, the making any representation of God, of all or of any of the three persons, either inwardly in our mind or outwardly in any kind of image or likeness of any creature whatsoever. Now, they go on for several more sentences in explaining what they believe means a breaking of the second commandment. Did you hear what they said? The sins forbidden in the second commandment, it's making any representation of God, of all or any of the three persons, inwardly in our minds or outwardly in any kind of image or likeness of any creature whatsoever. Now, I will tell you there are differing opinions about how far that goes in our circles, in our denomination. But the point is that the Westminster divines felt that God's word and what he says about the second commandment is so significant and important that we should not dare to break it by doing this, by fashioning God in a certain way in our mind. We can break the second commandment by worshiping the right God the wrong way. During the summer of the year 2000, I visited Portugal on a work trip. I was working at Mission to the World at the time, and I took a group of pastors on what we called a vision trip. We went to Portugal to look at how God was at work in that place through the MTW team in Portugal. And at the end of our visit, the MTW missionaries that we were visiting took us north to a town named Fatima. It was the location of one of the highest religious sites for the Roman Catholic Church. The story is told that the mother of Jesus, Mary, appeared to three small shepherd children in the year 1917 in Fatima. These children became heroes. They became saints of the church. An enormous cathedral was built on the site, also including a hospital that was near some trees where the event was said to have taken place. Now, this visit was fascinating for a lot of reasons, but probably the biggest reason was what we saw out back of the cathedral. As you exited the back of the cathedral and as you walk into this enormous courtyard made of stone bricks along the ground, and down the middle of this courtyard, leading right up to the cathedral, was a single person width stone walkway. As you walk out into the courtyard and you turn around, you see three enormous pictures at the top of the cathedral, one of each of the children. Pilgrims from all over the world would come to the cathedral at Fatima every year. They would start at the furthest end of the courtyard, forming a single line in the middle of that walkway, get down on their hands and knees, and crawl toward the cathedral. Looking up and focusing on the three pictures of the children as they did so. Worshiping the Lord through the images of these children. Now, perhaps it's the case that some go to Fatima to actually worship the children. They would be breaking the first commandment. But what we saw most was people going to worship the Lord, but doing so through the images on the back of the cathedral. Attempting to get God to bless them, to heal them, to rescue them by giving devotion to these images. And so they were breaking the second commandment. Now that seemed outrageous. So obvious how it was wrong to be doing that. How clearly it was a violation of the second commandment. But brothers and sisters in Christ, we do it too, albeit in different ways. Fashioning images of the Lord in our minds, trying to fashion Him into being what we want Him to be, who we think He should be, failing to take the Lord on His own terms as He has revealed Himself in His Word, worshiping Him through some use of means that He has not given to us to worship Him. And so we need to reflect, lastly, what can we do to help us to keep the second commandment? Three things as we finish today that can help us. The first is this: we need to see Jesus. We need to see Jesus. Go back to the story of Exodus 32 and the story of the golden calf. A little bit further in that story than what we read earlier in the service, we find Moses addressing the people who had sinned by seeking to worship the one true God with this image, with this idol. And we read in chapter 32, verses 30 to 32, this: "The next day Moses said to the people, 'You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin.' So Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Alas, this people has sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you will forgive their sin.' But if not," listen to what Moses says, "'but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written.'" Moses asked the Lord to forgive the sins of the people, but he says, "If not, then put their sins on me." What is this if it's not a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come into this world as the exact representation, the exact image, the exact imprint of God, and live a life of perfect love and obedience to His Father? He would live in the midst of a people who worshipped false gods and a people who worshipped the one true God wrongly. He would live His life in the midst of breakers of the first and the second commandments, but He would never break them Himself. He would never break any part of God's law. He perfectly loved and obeyed His Father, and then He willingly gave His life as a payment for those breakers of the second commandment. He stood before His Father and asked the Father to put the sins of His people on Himself, on His account. It was as it were that Jesus said, "Blot me out so that my people can have eternal life. An eternal inheritance." Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we see the beauty and the grace of the gospel, when we see the extent of God's love demonstrated for us in the cross, it should move us more and more to want to keep the second commandment, to honor the Lord with our lives and in our minds, to make sure that we are not only focusing on just one aspect of who God is for our own benefit, to alone worship Him as He desires and commands, Because as we reflect on the gospel, we look and we see, look at what Jesus has done for us. Look at his love for us. Look at how much he cares for us. Let's be keepers of the second commandment to honor him. Secondly, we should see the wisdom of the regulative principle of worship. Now, if you're not from a Presbyterian or Reformed tradition, that's probably a very foreign phrase to you, the regulative principle of worship. What in the world does that mean? The regulative principle of worship, it's a theological idea that says we will only do in worship what God has said to do in worship. We will be regulated by the Word of God in terms of what we do in our corporate worship together. If God has not told us in His Word to do X, then we will not do X in our worship service. Now, that's different to what most of the rest of the evangelical world holds to, which would be probably called the normative principle of worship. And that idea is, if something's not forbidden in the Bible to do in worship, then we're free to do it. The problem with that is it can be taken too far. We can end up with things in corporate worship that have no business in the worship service. There is wisdom to adhering to this regulative principle of worship. It helps to guard us against worshiping the one true God in wrong ways. We only want to worship the Lord God Almighty as He has instructed us to worship Him, in the ways that He has provided that He would receive glory and praise that He is due and that He desires. Right? We're not told to use cookies and fruit punch with the Lord's Supper. We're told to use bread and wine. We're not told to show an entire short movie in the place of a sermon. We're told to hear the Word of God preached. Now, those are some ludicrous examples, perhaps, but I've heard examples of that happening before. Over the years, I'm occasionally asked, why don't you do more or different kinds of things in worship? And this is why. In our church, in our denomination, we are bound by the wisdom of this regulative principle of worship. Now, certainly it's the case, there's flexibility for how we do things in our worship service. But what we do in our worship service is bound by what the Lord God Almighty has told us to do, to worship Him rightly. So the wisdom of this regulative principle can help us to be keepers of the second commandment. Thirdly and lastly, something that we can do to help us to be keepers of the second commandment is to root out the images and the idols as a way of worshiping the Lord. When we find ourselves making use of images or idols of the Lord, whether externally or internally, when we find ourselves only focusing on isolated aspects of who the Lord is, His nature and His attributes, we need to take the step of rooting it out of our hearts, out of our minds, out of our lives. It's too dangerous to let that fester and linger. Things like the prosperity gospel movement, or the moral therapeutic deism movement, or even the deconstruction movement, all have substituted images of God that lead them away from who God truly is. Breaking the second commandment and not doing anything about it, that's dangerous to our souls. So when we find ourselves doing it, we need to ask the Lord to forgive us and then turn away from breaking the second commandment and turn back to Him in loving obedience, moving toward intentionally, proactively seeking to be keepers of the second commandment. What can help us to keep the second commandment? We need to see Jesus. We need to see the wisdom of the regulative principle of worship. And then we need to be intentional about trying to root out those images in idols, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, as a way of worshiping the Lord. Let's pray together.